Well, today's lesson from Habakkuk 3, chapter 3, verse 11, is entitled The Race. I'm entitling it The Race. And something that comes to my mind when I'm thinking about different things, I remember growing up, and I went to a high school, a pretty sizable high school, but sometimes there's high schools that have, limited resources, or they give opportunities to all different types of teachers. But something that I saw as a pattern on a regular basis was that history teachers a lot of times would become coaches. I don't know if that was an easy thing for them to do or if it just fit a pattern of the fact that somebody that studies history deals with principles and fundamentals. Not that I remember one time when my son was going to high school, there was a science teacher that was the coach. And it seemed like it because there was a lot of experimenting going on with the different plays that were going on. But most of the time, I see those that are social studies or geography or different things that are kind of locked into place. History's locked into place. And how do we learn about the future a lot of times as you look at the past? You look at how somebody's reacted. A lot of the analytics that are going on now with sports is dealing with past. You do figures, you figure out the numbers of different things, and that's what makes sense. We see here in chapter 3, verse 11 of Habakkuk that he says this. He says, "The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped at the flash of your glittering spear." And you see, the Lord, who doesn't change, he's sovereign over history, and not only in the past, but also in the present and future, as he works for his own glory and the redemption of his people. The long day of Joshua, when we look at chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, was another time when the Lord's enemies were judged. The background is a reference to the sun and the moon standing still in the heavens. The prophet Habakkuk saw the works of God in the past and knew that God would also work in the future. Our God is faithful, he doesn't change, and he's a subject that is preached throughout the Old Testament, that faithfulness of God. So we see that the sun and the moon respond to the presence of God. And so, he points back to Joshua chapter 10. The Amorites had come up against Israel, and Joshua had prayed to God for help. And God said, "Don't fear. God had given them into your hand," Joshua 10, verse 8, "and not one of them would live." So Israel started fighting, and the Amorites started running away, and God sent hailstorms to kill many of them, and then God actually caused the sun to stand still so that Israel could be victorious. And so Joshua 10, 11 through 14 tells us about that. At the end of that scene, Joshua said, "The Lord fought for Israel." So how did God fight? He sent hail. He caused the sun and moon to stay put. And then we look at the lines 2 and 3, and they're parallel to one another. It says, "The light of the arrows as they sped, the flash of your glittering spear." And those are symbols of God's created order. The sun and the moon are subservient to his call. The imagery is reminiscent of that victory of Israel over the Amorites at Gibeon. And so these lightning flashes, they're not random electrical bolts that don't mean anything. They are a display of the presence and power of God. And so all of nature does what God wants it to. See, the problem is with us as people. We don't realize the presence of God sometimes or the power of God. And so when you think about how God is in charge of things, you think about the fact that he is constantly working, and those principles can be trusted because from the past he does it. He does it well, and he can be trusted. And so there's a race going on, and sometimes it looks like the enemy is winning that race. But when we stop and truly think about it, God's going to win that race. He can be trusted. We can look to him and rely on him. We've got the fastest person in the race, and his name is Yahweh.